Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life Podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, a while back, we had a counselor on the show who said that a healthy relationship is impossible without these three things. She said empathy, humility, and forgiveness. Wow, think about that. How might the quality of our relationships improve if we learn to say things like please, sorry, and thank you? Well, guess what? If you'd like to apply yourself to becoming a better friend, spouse, employee, neighbor, follower of Christ, look no further. One of our favorites joins us today. Mark Batterson has written a great new book, and this book reads just like his other books. It's so full of inspiration. I laugh one moment, the next minute I want to pray bigger prayers. The title of his new book is Please, Sorry, Thanks, The Three Words That Change Everything. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And here's my question for you to engage with the conversation. Which of these three words comes easy to you? Please, sorry, thanks. Which of these words is maybe not as instinctive? Maybe even it comes harder for you. I'd love to know. Please, sorry, thanks. Which ones? Text me, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. We're inviting you to become a podcast/radio missionary. If you listen either via live or through our radio translators or podcast after the fact, if you love a show, share it with your friends, because it's a simple way to encourage people saying, you know, I love this message. I think it'll bless you too. Do us a favor and become a radio podcast missionary. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson, I should say Dr. Mark Batterson, is a lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., one church in multiple locations. National Community Church owns and operates Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theater, wow, the D.C. Dream Center, and the Capitol Turnaround. He holds a Doctor of Ministry degree from Regent University and is a New York Times bestselling author of 23 books. His newest book includes Please, Sorry, Thanks, Three Words That Change Everything. That's the one we're talking about today. He has three children. Oh, he's written three children's books with his daughter, Summer. He and his wife reside in Washington, D.C. And Mark, first of all, welcome to the show. God bless you. Welcome back.
Suzy, it's always a joy. You know, I hail from the great state of Minnesota, born in Minneapolis. Yes. So it's fun for me to be back.
Well, we love you so much and always appreciate the time. I just had that little hiccup during your bio because I remembered your children's book is out on my desk and I'm in here and I can't get it. So we're going to talk about it, even though I left it out there just an honest moment. So we'll get into that in just a moment, but sorry about that. But boy, I'm super excited about this new book. Before we dig in, though, let's just talk personal. As you've been spending time with the Lord these days, what's He been impressing upon your heart?
Yeah, I love the little phrases in Scripture, Suzy, that the Holy Spirit just has a way of using in a powerful way. There's a little two-word phrase that it's in, the prophet Joel writes about it, but then it's also in John chapter 11. Just two words, even now. And what I love about it is it just seeds faith in my heart that it's never too little and it's never too late. And I bet some folks are listening right now who wonder if it's too late, if it's too little. But the good news is God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to His power that's at work within us. And so the bottom line is, in John 11, Lazarus was 4 days dead, but it's not over until God says it's over. Don't put That's a right. period where God puts a comma. And so just that little phrase, even now, I think has been in my spirit recently.
Wow, I love that so much. Thank you for that. Well, I'd love to know how this particular book was born in your heart. Of all the things you could write about with how busy you are, why this book? What was the catalyst to it being born in your spirit?
Well, I think when people see the title, they probably have a flashback to their mom or dad telling them to say please, sorry, or thanks. And so I actually dedicate this book to my mom and dad, who were very good at that, taught me at an early age to say those three words. And I think what I discovered, Susie, and, you know, I've been pastoring a church here in DC for 27 years. So I've been around the block a time or two. And what I've realized is that we overcomplicate things. I really think you only need to be good at three things. And those three things, of course, are please, sorry, and thanks. And if you're good at those things, I'm not worried about your marriage. I'm not worried about your relationship with God. I think the culture at work, all of those things are going to take care of itself if we learn to not just say these words, but if they become a lifestyle. And I know we'll dig a little bit deeper, but nothing opens doors like please, nothing mends fences like sorry, and nothing builds bridges like thanks. So I think those three simple words are powerful words.
Amen. Why is it so hard? Do you think it's pride? Is it self-protection? Is it something else?
I think it's we're fallen creatures. I think, yeah. You know, with thanks, we tend to take things for granted. And that's the problem. You can either take them for granted or take them with gratitude. And you have to cultivate this flywheel of gratitude, which I think is what the word thanks is. And then sorry, yeah, you have to swallow your pride. It's hard to fess up when you mess up, but that's what we taught our kids to do. Like and you never get over that. You know, I like to say if you're married or plan on getting married, you might as well get good at that word because you're going to be saying it a lot.
Yes.
And then please to me is an antidote to some of the entitlement that sometimes we feel, even if it's within your rights to ask for something. Please levels the playing field and it puts the ball in someone else's court. And people don't respond to demands. At least I don't. And learning to say please will open a lot more doors than just demanding what you want and what you need.
Can you think of a time from your own story in life where someone said one of these words that sort of took you by surprise and kind of felt a bit like a game changer for you?
Well, I can. I'm kind of chuckling though, Susie, because I think those who have kids know that kids know their parents. They know who the weak one is, Susie. And that usually was me. And if my kids said please, man, I would move heaven and earth to try to give them what they're asking for. And I this isn't exactly answering the question that you're asking, but I just want to remind people that there is a good father, a heavenly father who loves to give good gifts to his children. In my experience, though, God doesn't respond to demands, doesn't respond to blackmail. If you do this, I'll do that. What God responds to is just a humble, genuine please. And we have not because we ask not. And so I think that ability to ask in a way that opens doors is really a game changer. And I look back on my life and there are moments when someone said please, sorry, or thanks, and it really did change the trajectory, especially when someone comes back and has the humility to say, I'm sorry. And I've learned that the hard part there, Susie, is who's going to go first? And I think if we have the courage to go first, that can be a powerful thing.
Amen. You know, the three words, as I watched you, I'm like, how would you ever write a book about three words? But you did it. And the things that stood out to me with all three of these words, Mark, are they require presence and humility. But we're in a culture that moves so fast, there's not presence. And we're so trying to get the clicks and the 5 minutes of fame, there's not humility. So to me, again, this is so countercultural because it causes you to have to slow down and to see the other person and even to care about the other person, right?
Yeah, it really does. I have I have two rules of life, Susie. One is every person is my superior in some way, and that I learn of them. And two, everyone's fighting a battle I know nothing about. And so I always want to have an extra measure of grace towards other people. I think we need to strive for some more win-win scenarios. We have this scarcity mentality, and we do live in a dog eat dog world. The problem with that is that that's not the biblical worldview. And in fact, we live in a cancel culture, but Jesus said 70 times seven. I can barely even do that math, but that's forgiving an awful lot of times. And the way I see it is, if Jesus is hanging on a cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and he's praying for the people who drove nails through his hands and his feet, then I don't have a leg to stand on. Then I have to offer forgiveness. And there's nuance there where, you know, Jesus also said, "Don't throw your pearls to pigs." So, you know, if you're in an abusive situation or someone continues to take advantage, you need boundaries and you need wisdom. But, you know, the unwillingness to forgive is like drinking rat poison and thinking it's going to kill the rat. It's going to kill you. Bitterness eats at the soul. And so we've got to learn that that science of sorry. And of course, that's kind of the middle part of the book.
Boy, that's so good. Please, sorry, thanks. The three words that change everything. Title of Mark Batterson's brand new book. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Again, I want to ask you the question. So which of these comes just easiest? And when I say easiest, I don't mean just off your tongue and you don't think about it, but you're present with that word. Like when you say please, do you mean it? Or thank you, do you mean it? Or sorry, do you mean it? And which one do you tend to just forget about, or it's just harder for you? I would love to know. Engage in the conversation, 877-933-2484. When we come back, Mark, you say our words can function as self-fulfilling prophecies. We're going to take a deeper look at our narratives and the things that we say and how they can actually function as self-fulfilling prophecies. More with Mark Batterson in just a moment. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Hey, I just want to thank you. I am. I'm so grateful. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. When I say thanks for tuning in, I really mean thank you. With all my heart, thank you for doing this journey with us and allowing us to do this faith journey with you. You could be a lot of places so that you'd spend time with us and we would seek out Jesus together. Means the world to me, truly. And today we're talking to one of my favorites, really, truly, Dr. Mark Batterson. He's written another great book. His brand new book is titled Please, Sorry, Thanks, The Three Words That Change Everything. And I also have to tell you, he co-authored another children's book, The Best Worst Day Ever. And I left it out of my desk, so I can't open it up. I can't read it to you. I'm so embarrassed, but you got to check it out because every Batterson book is a good one. All righty. So I almost said Marky. I cannot believe it. I think I need a vacation, Mark. I'm so sorry about that. A little off my game today. Oh, my word. Marky, let's talk. Okay. I love it. All right. Well, let's talk about the idea that our words can function as self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yeah. Well, Susie, if you go all the way back to the beginning, in the beginning, God created how? With his voice, with his words. God said, "Let there be light." And so everything we see was once said. Now, I know, you know, people think to themselves, well, I can't big bang the universe with my words, but your words have power. Words create worlds. So there's a fascinating theory amongst linguists. It's the constructive conception of language. And the idea is that words don't just represent the world objectively. Words create the world subjectively. You don't see the world as it is. You see the world as you are. And the same is true of words. And I think this is what King Solomon maybe was getting at when he said, the power of life and death is in the tongue, that our words have the capacity to bless or to curse. And this is so offbeat, Susie, but you know I love fun facts. So studies have actually found that if you speak negatively to plants, they will languish. If you speak positively to plants, they will flourish. Now, I'm not sure who did the study, but what's true of plants is true of people, that our words really do make a difference. And Jesus said that essentially words are x-rays. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's be really careful with what we say and don't say.
I think that's so important and so powerful, maybe because some of these ideas have been taken to such an extreme as if we can always get God to do what we want him to do. People veer all the way away from it. But I wish I remembered the article that I read, a researched article, though, about this was not faith-based at all, but saying if you're repeatedly basically cursing yourself even, your cells respond. Your body will, I talked about this on the show. If you hold yourself in contempt and you never resolve what's going on inside, in due time, your physiology will respond to that. That's just a fact. And so we might not like to hear that or see that, but even when you think about what you're saying to your children or to your spouse or to the politician on TV, you destroy yourself when you're cruel, Scripture says. So there's really something here, isn't there?
There is. And if you want to change your world, you have to change your words. If you want to change your life, you have to change your story. And that's where I believe Scripture is our script cure. And that's not just a play on words. That. It's allowing God's word to overwrite our negative narratives. And so that's why for me, a daily Bible reading plan is so important, because it does overwrite some of those narratives. And right now, there are a lot of loud voices, Susie, and I'm not sure that the loudest voice is the one that we should be listening to. In fact, I would argue that the still small voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice we should be listening to most. And so we've got to be really careful with the words we listen to, the words we speak. And it's no coincidence that Jesus himself is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there's something about words that are incredibly important.
Oh, amen. Amen. Well, as I was getting ready, prepping for the show before I got to this point in your book, I'd already planned to ask you how you're keeping hope, because I'm hearing from so many leaders who their morale is down, their vision is languishing, just because I think they've admitted they're watching too much news, maybe listening to the loudest voices. And yet I love so much in your book how you admitted you got to a point where the political, especially you're right in the epicenter of political polarization. And you were saying how that started to take a toll on your soul, and you reviewed some of the phrases in your journal. Say a word about that point where you realized where you had landed.
Yeah, I think I had started using some negative words over and over again, and it just reinforced the narrative. I kept saying, leadership is brutal, or leadership is so hard. And if you keep saying that to yourself, then it's easy to forget, Susie, that I don't have to do what I do. I get to do what I do. This is still a choice. And I still wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I mean, it's not easy, but I think your words are going to reinforce a narrative one way or the other. And so as I was going through my journals, as I was listening to myself talk, I realized if you were to take sort of the transcript of everything that I was saying, there was a lot more negativity. And the crazy thing is, positivity is one of my strengths. So what I did Well, I did a couple of things. One, I took some words out of my vocabulary. I'm just not going to say it because it's going to reinforce it. Two, I got a little extra counseling, and I've never met anybody that doesn't need counseling for something at some point. And now, buyer beware, you've got to find the right counselor. And I really believe in a faith-based, someone that understands the power and importance of God's word and God's spirit. But we need counseling, and some of us just need more than one. So that's me. And then I went back and just doubled down on my gratitude journal, which is probably the simplest way to put that third word into practice, that you have to sanctify your reticular activating system, this part of the brain that determines what we notice and what goes unnoticed. And so when you keep a gratitude journal, when you know you need three things every day that you're going to write down, it trains you to really have an eye out for the things that maybe you would take for granted or maybe you would overlook. And so one of the best ways to put this book into practice is honestly just to keep a gratitude journal. And then Laura and I, we actually Sabbath Sunday evening to Monday evening, and we begin that Sabbath by sharing gratitudes. And it just it fuels our relationship, and it really helps remind us of, in the midst of all the challenges, this is what we're grateful for. And so I think that's a pretty practical step people can make to really practice this idea of thanks.
Those are multiple practical steps. And I love, too, that you didn't linger there. You decided, I'm going after this. I know what my soul is heir to, and I'm getting back there again. And I think that is a word for somebody today, because I think we live so often beneath our spiritual privilege, where God has given us access to get back to joy and get back to peace. But you're so right. It won't happen without gratitude. And as someone who's battled a lot with sleep issues, it's happened in the past where, I would wake up and my eyes would burn and inflammation would go crazy. I'm doing so much better. But let's say I have a night where I've only got about 4 or 5 hours. There's an accumulated effect of getting better sleep. But I would say to myself, I'm so exhausted. I'm so exhausted. And the Lord just nailed me for it, because I thought, this is way more than I was getting before. So I just flipped that script, as you often say, and thought, I got enough. God's going to give me what I need. And I couldn't even believe what a difference it made when I stopped rehearsing how exhausted I am. So there's so something to this, you know?
Yes, what? Yes. Wow. You know, Susie, I wonder, and I won't play this all the way out. We'll just tease it. But there is a concept that I write about in the book. It's a concept from Judaism called Lashon Hara. And it's derogatory or defamatory speech.
And, okay, and it pause. Doesn't just... You got to pause. Yes. We have a hard break, yes. And I don't want to miss a word you're going to say.
Okay,
wow.
All right.
I know that's going somewhere we need to go, talking to Mark Batterson about his amazing new book, Please, Sorry, Thanks, The Three Words That Change Everything. If anybody could write a whole book on three words, Mark can, and he has. It's great. We'll be back in a minute.
I am here, I am loved, God is good, and that's enough.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to one of our favorites, Dr. Mark Batterson. His new book, Please, Sorry, Thanks, The Three Words That Change Everything. And he talks about the psychology of please, the science of sorry, and the theology of thanks. And we've kind of touched on some of these, but we'll dig in a little deeper. But first, you got to restart what you were about to say when we came up on that break, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Susie, Lashon Hara is this concept in Judaism, and it's the idea of defamatory or derogatory words, but it's not just towards others, it's towards ourselves. And I can't help but think of this Jeremiah 1, where God says to Jeremiah, do not say or say not, I am too young. In other words, Jeremiah, if you say you're too young, you're just reinforcing the wrong narrative. And there's a story in Judaism about a woman who was gossiping, and the rabbi gave her an assignment, told her to put a feather on every doorstep. And she came back and said, I did it. He said, now go collect all those feathers. And she said, I can't possibly do that. The wind is blowing them here and there. And the rabbi, of course, said, so it is with your words of gossip. And so this idea of Lashon Hara is there are just some things that we should not empower, that we should not say. And that could be a little bit convicting in marriage or as parents. So I want to be careful, Susie, because there's a God who covers our sin, and we've all said some things we would love to get back. So I don't want anybody beating themselves up over this, but we need to check in our spirit when we're about to say something that it's just going to make things worse. So hopefully that little part of the book, I think, will help readers evaluate their vocabulary, evaluate their words, and maybe be just a little bit more careful in what they say and don't say.
I just think it was really worth the time to talk about that, Mark, because when you say it the way that way, where you your words give power to something, what are you giving power to? And if you see your words as seeds, what are you planting? Because it will bring a harvest. So, wow, that's so good. Okay, well, let's dig in a little deeper to the word please. And you say it communicates a posture of humility and that nobody did it better than Jesus. Say more about that.
Yeah. Please is, well, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So you can make people do things, but look at the way Jesus interacted with people. By the way, I think he was asked somewhere in the neighborhood of 186 questions, give or take. Don't quote me on that, but he asked 307 questions. So Jesus is someone who is the way, the truth, and the life, and yet he asked more questions than he was asked. So I think that's significant in terms of posture and approach. And I think about this story about the man who was blind, Susie, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Which seems like a totally unnecessary question. Well, he wants his sight restored, but Jesus put the ball in the man's court. No, put it in your words. You say it. You tell me. And I think as parents, we kind of get this. Like if you put words in your kid's mouth, it's not necessarily going to get in their heart. And so Jesus models, he's the God who stands at the door and knocks. I guess that's all I'm trying to say it, Susie. And and so please, I think, is the polite way of standing at a door and knocking. You could knock it down, but at the end of the day, that's not going to help anybody. So I think please is a way of relinquishing our rights and leveling the playing field and empowering and honoring others.
Amen. As you're talking, I'm thinking of his encounter with the woman at the well. Please give me a drink. And she was shocked that a Jewish man would have anything to do with her in broad daylight. And here he's still not only talking with her, being seen with her, but he treats her with dignity. Please give me a drink. And then he engages with her, you know, on a theological level. I just thought that's such a beautiful posture. And I love what you said at the beginning of the show, that you consider everybody as superior to you in some way. I think if we could, again, approach our relationships that way, what a difference it might make. Well, your spiritual father and mentor, Dick Foth, I've quoted him so many times. I've had him on the show a couple of times. I love that guy. And you said in the book that he told you there are two kinds of people, those who enter the room with this persona that says, here I am, and those who enter a room and say, oh, there you are. Wow, what a way to put it. I'd love for you just to comment on that.
Yeah, well, and no one does it better than Dick Foth. So he is all about everyone else. And you know what? Last week I happened to be with John Maxwell, and John is the consummate leader. But you know what? If I had to describe John Maxwell in just a couple of words, I would say that he's someone that adds value to other people. And I love people like this, that It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about everybody else. And Susie, I feel like when you reach the highest level of leadership in the kingdom of God, now you have the right to wash other people's feet. That's what leadership is. And it's an approach that, like Philippians 2, it's the kenosis, the emptying of himself that Jesus came to serve. And the greatest of all is the servant of all. And so I think when you take a there you are approach, it's got to be win-win. I'm past the point in my life, Susie, where I'm trying to see what I can get from anybody else. That's just no way to live. Exactly. I think if your approach is, if it's not a win for you, it's not a win for me, the world would be a much better place. And I think that's how the kingdom advances, that you consider others better than yourself. And it's not false humility. It's just a posture towards other people that's honoring that the image of God in me sees the image of God
Hallelujah.
In you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, one more thought about, please, before we move to sorry, and that is that you say people who really understand the posture of please, not this flippant please, but a true, like I'm valuing you, so I'm talking to you with honor, tend to also be good listeners. That feels really important. Wonder if you'd just comment on that.
Yeah, well, God's given us two ears and one mouth, and if we use them in that proportion, I think we would be in better shape. Hey, Amen. Can I share one fun story since, this is one of my favorite parts, because you have to personalize your pleas. You have to find ways to not manipulate, but to genuinely say please. And so one of the stories I share in the book is about John Rulin, in a story he shares about trying to get a meeting with a Target executive. And for 18 months, nothing was working. And then he did a little bit of research and discovered that this Target executive was a graduate of the University of Minnesota. And of course, it's the Golden Gophers, right? Golden Gophers. Mm-hmm. And so he took a 60-pound, he had a furniture company, take a 60-pound piece of cherry wood, emblazoned the Golden Gopher logo on it, as well as the fight song, sent it to the Target executive. And wouldn't you know it, within 24 hours, the executive assistant was on the phone saying, hey, my boss would love to meet with you. And so I think I share that with a smile on my face, because you have to be careful. Your motives are going to make all the difference in the world. But we could say please a little bit more creatively. And I think that's one of the things I'm trying to accomplish in the book. And by the way, I had a dad who was started out working for a box company, actually in Fridley, Minnesota, and ended up as the VP of that company. Led the company in sales. And I think it's because he's the most unassuming, kindest, most thoughtful salesperson you would ever meet, because it was all about everybody else. And so I had a wonderful mentor and model in seeing that in my own life. And I think we'd get a lot further with that kind of please.
Wow. What an example. That's so beautiful. Okay. Science of sorry. What's the science behind sorry?
I think part of it is the law of reciprocation, that if you wonder why nobody smiles at you, I would say take a look in the mirror, and are you smiling at other people? Because if you're smiling at others, it's going to be reciprocated. And I'll come back to sorry, but because we both love biking, right? We love to bike. And Susie, when I was training for my latest bike century, when my quads would start cramping and I felt dehydrated and got a little dizzy on the bike, you know what I would do? I would smile. I would force myself to smile. And I noticed that everybody I encountered on the bike trails would be smiling back at me. And what I was doing is something we taught our kids. Your face tells your body how to feel. And so, fun fact, even when I record an audiobook, Susie, I always smile when I'm doing
That's
it.
That's so good.
Because people can't see it, but I can tell you're smiling right now. I can hear it in your voice. And so I just think there's a science to this stuff that everything is interconnected. Our physiology and psychology and theology, all of these things work together. So there is a science to it.
Man, well, first of all, when I'm in that spot and I'm on the bike and my quads are cramping, I'm like, legs, legs, legs. That's what I say. And it's like, smiling would be so much more fun and easier. And so, wow, I love that so much. And I have an audiobook to record soon, so I'm going to put a smile on my face. That's really wonderful. Well, I'm going to read this excerpt and have you comment on it. You said, hurt people hurt people. Instead of dealing with their hurt, they repress it. Repression is like trying to keep a fully inflated beach ball beneath the surface of the water. Those repressed feelings will surface sooner or later, usually at the most inopportune time. We have to cast our cares on God. Confession lets the air out of those emotions. It's letting go and letting God forgive us. Then we return the favor by forgiving others. So once again, there's so much beneath this, the science of sorry. It's like really, again, going after God to get that stuff in us healed so that we can be a blessing to others and we can walk free, you know? Say more if you would.
Yeah. When someone overreacts, in other words, you do something or say something, and their reaction to it is disproportionate. In other words, they kind of blow up on you. What you have to realize is that they are not reacting to present tense you. They are reacting to past tense pain, not 9 times out of 10. And that doesn't excuse it, but again, everyone's fighting a battle I know nothing about. Susie, I wish everybody could just carry around a picture of their 5-year-old self. I've never had this thought. I've never actually said this, but I think when Jesus encountered the woman caught in the act of adultery and everybody wanted to stone her, I think Jesus saw the 5-year-old. I think God sees not just who we are, but who we were,
yeah,
who we can be. I wonder if we saw the 5-year-old in each other.
Wow.
If we would be a lot more gracious. That just hit me like a ton of bricks. But
wow.
Yeah.
That might be something you need to write on it really next round, because that really, I mean, talk about a paradigm shift for sure, to see a child, because there's a wounded child pretty much in everybody. Wow. Yeah. When we come back, I would love for you to chat about your breakfast or lunch that you had with another one that I respect so much, R.T. Kendall. I love that man. I trust his instincts. I love his books. I think he's a straight arrow, and he wrote a brilliant book on forgiveness, but I'd love to hear what you learned from him. Talking to Mark Batterson today about his amazing book, Please, Sorry, Thanks, the 3 words that change everything. And as you probably know, Mark writes like he speaks. You're going to feel motivated, inspired, and invited to something so much more when you read this book. Got a handful of copies to give away. I'm praying this one grows wings, because we all could grow in these areas. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I know you're going to see me through it. If anybody can do it. God, I know in the trial and the pain, fire and the rain, you're going to see me. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a really wonderful conversation with our good friend, Dr. Mark Batterson. He's got a brand new amazing book out titled, Please, Sorry, Thanks, the 3 words that change everything. And he referenced this amazing quote from Jerry Bridges in one of his chapters. Your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. and your best days are never so good that you're beyond the need of God's grace. Every day, our Christian experience should be a day of relating to God on the basis of His grace alone. Man, somebody got to send me an amen on that one. So, Mark, you and R.T. Kendall, what I wouldn't give to sit in the third chair at that table. That sounds like quite the gathering. How was that for you? And tell me what your takeaway was.
Yeah, I actually, it was a mutual friend, Tim Delina, pastor's Times Square Church. And he said, RT's in town. If you want to hop on a train, come on up. And Susie, I hopped on that train. It was such a meaningful lunch. And his book on the anointing really impacted me profoundly. But I think this book called Total Forgiveness, he talks about an offense he took. And a friend who just kind of got in his business a little bit and said, you must totally forgive them. And RT wasn't all too happy about it, but he said, you have to totally forgive them and you'll be set free. And I just think there are a lot of people letting other people live rent free in their head and their heart because they just can't let go. And I think, my goal in life is to be unoffendable. It's to the glory of a man to overlook an offense. And so I want to let go of those offenses. I don't want to carry the baggage of unforgiveness around. Life is too short. God is too good. That's not easy to hear or to say. But I think it'll set a lot of people free.
Amen. We did a show on RT's book. We didn't interview him. We just had a friend in studio, and we just walked through the content of that book. If you guys want to look for that, Total Forgiveness, so fantastic. Before we move on to thanks, the two questions you ask us to ask ourselves, one is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone you need, something you need to confess? I challenge you to sit with those. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there something you need to confess? We could literally talk about this content for 2 hours, but we got to keep it moving because we only got about 7 minutes left with Mark here. Okay, theology of thanks. Go. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, there are only two ways to live your life, said Albert Einstein. One is as if nothing is a miracle, and the other is as if everything is. And Susie, I know which camp you're in. Yeah. And I'm in the same camp that everything is a miracle. We are on a planet that's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, speeding through space at 67,000 miles per hour. Even on a day when you didn't get much done, you did travel 1.6 million miles. So
wow.
I know people who say they've never experienced a miracle. With all due respect, you have never not, and you are one. And so learning to give thanks is, I think, paying closer to attention that your heart will beat 100,000 times today, and it'll pump 6 quarts of blood through 60,000 miles of veins and arteries and capillaries. And I think that's 100,000 miracles.
Come on.
So let's wake up to the reality of God's goodness and God's greatness. And, gratitude is not getting what you want. It's appreciating what you have.
Amen.
And so I think that's at the heart of it.
So good. I got to read both these. You said, when was the last time you made snow angels in freshly fallen snow or savored a sunset as an act of worship or marveled over a sleeping baby for just a few minutes or stared into the night sky or enjoyed the laugh of a loved one? When you praise God for partial miracles, you're prophesying your praise. Gratitude is praising God after He does the miracle. Faith is praising God before He does. It's like a down payment on a miracle. Thank God before it happens, then see what happens. Is there a partial miracle you need to praise God for? Take a deep breath and now pray a bold prayer. And I know you've told this story on this show before, but I pray that you wouldn't mind telling it again. You probably only have about 4 minutes, and I know you could take an hour, but would you tell your asthma story?
Yeah, my first memory is an asthma attack. And, we were living in New Hope at the time. And I woke up middle of the night, couldn't breathe. My dad took me to I think it was North Memorial.
North Memorial, yeah.
And got a shot of epinephrine. And that really was my story for 40 years, Susie. Mm. I didn't go anywhere without an inhaler. I slept with it under my pillow. I played basketball with it in my sock. And then July 2nd, 2016, we're in a series at our church called Mountains Move. And I just feel like I need to pray a bold prayer. And sometimes that's praying a prayer you prayed 100 times.
Yeah.
And God hasn't answered yet, but he hasn't released you from it either. And mm-hmm. so I asked God to heal my lungs. And Susie, I have not touched an inhaler from that day to this day. Mm. God healed my lungs. And you know, to celebrate that miracle, I actually did something I could not have done, and that was run the Chicago Marathon. And so I, every
and you've
day
ridden
to
plenty
me,
of century rides. I mean, really, that's not a small thing. Riding 100-mile rides, you've done that a handful of times. That's amazing.
It is no joke. It is no joke. Wow. And I just, every day is really a miracle to me that, that I have lungs that can breathe. And but I would say one of the lessons learned in that journey was learning to praise God for partial miracles. And I think sometimes when we don't get the entire miracle when and where we want it, we sort of give up or we get frustrated. And I would say that if you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. And, mm-hmm. and along the way, you've got to thank him for baby steps. You've got to thank him for the little breakthroughs. And when you do that, I think it then sets the stage for God to do even bigger and better miracles.
Yeah, I mean, thanking him for the partial miracles is so good because, again, in the entitlement and discontent mindset we slip into so easily, we do forget about the sunrise or the laughter of a loved one or that comfy chair that, what if, you know, someone once said, if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? And boy, I think just tuning our brains to all the things that we so take for granted will suddenly make us realize how rich we are. And Mark, do you wonder, you know, when you think of how long you did battle and when God did heal you, do you get a sense of anything or more than that was his timing or was he preparing you so you could receive the miracle? Or do you have, I mean, has it changed your theology on healing at all?
Well, ultimate healing happens in heaven, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the healing mechanisms within the human body, even the immune system, are absolutely staggering. I mean, it's remarkable. So to me, the whole thing is a miracle. At the end of the day, I know that God is able. That I'm sure of. And then I've learned to trust his plans and purposes. So Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us, but the secret things belong to God. So the when and where and how are past my pay grade. And
that's good.
But we have not because we ask not. So mm-hmm. let's continue to ask and pray those bold prayers.
Wow, I love that. What do you hope and pray that your readers take away from this new book of yours?
Well, I hope it's a rising tide of please, sorry, and thanks that in marriages, in families, in workplaces, in churches. I just think we would be happier and healthier and holier with a rising tide. And then I'm really hoping that readers personalize their pleas, that they signature their sorry, that they thumbprint their thanks, that it really becomes a way of life, that it becomes almost an art form, Susie, like mm-hmm. people that succeed, no matter what they do, people who succeed, I really think they find a way to put their fingerprint on please, sorry, and thanks, and it becomes a way of life. And I don't know about you, but those are the people I want to hang out with, and
indeed.
I want to be one of those people.
Come on. Amen. Well, Mark, we always love our time with you and we pray for you. Kevin, I love to pray for you because we love what you're doing and we appreciate you so much. Thank you for giving us some time out of your very busy schedule. Appreciate it so much.
Joy and privilege. God bless. Thanks, Susie.
Yeah. Congratulations on another fantastic book. The title again, friends, is the Please, Sorry, Thanks, the Three Words That Change Everything. Everybody needs a copy of this book. We got a handful to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-3333. 2484. We love you. We appreciate you. We're so grateful for you. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.